Bonova, and this is A Visit with Suzanne. Suzanne, and later Jim, this Sunday night, I guess it is, Sunday night, the 2nd of May, 1971. Sunday night, the 2nd of May, 1971. Suzanne has this whole reel. One.
Glad we're getting a little refreshments.
We just pulled it around to where the tractor was sitting.
Oh, I'll take some back and give it to Carol.
Yeah, I'm right. Do you need to tell Cookie anything?
Not a thing,
babe. Well, there's things you need in
there. Just let them wait.
Oh.
I think they're waiting for the girls to bring the horses up so they can put the horses in the place down there, and then they go on home.
The little man and all them? Those ones?
No, the two big horses. Oh. I fertilized over on my side, and they're reaching over and eating and knocking down the fence. So I bought some fertilizer. Put on the other side, it was Cookie helping me. But it's going to be a week or two, you see, before the grass grows out.
Yeah.
So they've got to do something with horses. So they will put them in the Pappy's place. I don't know where Pappy's going. So you all take a trip?
Yeah. Jim didn't even wait to see Bubba when we left Friday. He went out there and he picked his vegetables.
Yeah.
We must have had 20 potatoes.
Yeah.
And about 6 squash and a great big grocery sack full of greens.
Yeah.
And another sack full of onions. He couldn't wait to get home with them.
Show them off?
Yeah. He said, we drove up and, we go through all this, hugging and kissing and all. Nell was out there. She had a new dress on. She'd made 3 new dresses. And she wore 2 of them while we were there. Anyway, she had, it's this blue and white, kind of a sky blue and white and sleeveless and all. She looked real nice. But Jim just couldn't wait to get in the car and drag out all those vegetables. So he got the sack of greens out first because that's what they like best. Of course, everybody's amazed.
It's hardest to get.
Yeah. So we took them all in the kitchen and laid everything out. We laid all the potatoes out. Oohs and ahs over them. We laid the squash out. They were the big hit.
All right.
Squash.
Oh, really?
And the onions after that. And then the greens.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Had an exhibit, didn't he?
He said, we'd been at that county fair up there, he would have won a prize. But we ate every bit of it this weekend, just about.
No trouble.
But, they were really excited about the garden. And for some reason, that set view off just right away. And the first thing I noticed was he wasn't nervous about the house this weekend. Past 3 or 4 times we've been there, he's been worrying about that house.
Yeah.
And this weekend, he wasn't. And as far as I could tell, it was the vegetables, because we didn't talk about the house. We talked about the garden.
Yeah.
And, but I noticed it, because I was in there talking to Nell. And he and Jim were out watering the plants. And they yelled and said, come look out, there's a rocket going off. So we ran out the house. Yeah. And we spent, about an hour and a half out there just talking, watering the plants and talking about they talk about their garden too, the plants, the flowers, and then they planted some carrots and peppers and I think some pumpkins too. And of course immediately I went right back up to Georgia what they're planning to plant up there, you know, they're gonna plant sweet potatoes in the new ground and have a place all picked out for a garden. And they have views bought 6 rolls of this wire fence. It's real small square as well. It's 6 feet high and 130 feet on each roll. He's got them all in the garage. I have no idea what he's going to use it for, but you know, he figures to use it all up.
To wall in that garden.
Yeah, wall in the garden and the chicken yard. And I don't know what else he's going to use it for, but the garden mostly.
Yeah. You know, a roll of that costly wire doesn't go that far.
Well, he got it at a bargain. Man bought too much. And
even bargains are costly.
Yeah.
They add up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one reason he's working longer. He's going to get more money. But we just, you know, the wind was blowing. It was pretty cool. We just sat out there and talked. And I think the thing that's been worrying him for some reason, it's not only the house, but it's the place where Jim and I are going to have to live. He hadn't figured out what we're going to do up there during the winter. We're breaking ground. You know, there's no place to live but a little 8-foot trailer. I don't even think it's 8 foot. So he's decided that what he's going to do is build a little one-room place and let us live there, and then after they get the big house built, they're going to turn that into the barn. So he's got that out of his mind. That's all he's worried about.
Yeah. So he's relieved.
He's relieved. And he was all week. Grandmother and grandfather came over Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought a tub of dirt. His grandfather's just organic gardening thing, you know. He brought over some dirt, potatoes, beans, you know, pole beans, onions, and cucumbers. So naturally, we had to eat their vegetables too. Oh yeah, and about 10, I guess about 6 pounds of fish that they caught. Some new variety that you have to catch on a net.
Yeah.
And it's real good. It tastes better than mullet, I think. I had that. And this thing now, it's not only Jim and I going up there and staying, but they expect grandmother and grandfather to stay too.
Really?
About half the year, you know, off and on, come up for about a month or two and stay.
Yeah.
So, as far as I know, Bue's planning on them coming up sooner or later, kind of permanently.
Going north, Florida.
Well, they're from Georgia too. I think grandfather's from LJ. And grandmother's from, not sure where she's from. But the whole weekend it was all Georgia.
Oh really?
Nell's birthday kind of intervened on Sunday, but other than that, it was all Georgia. And grandfather and grandmother started talking, you know, about the. Well, I guess at dinner, you know, we had four huge meals because we had
I'll be right back.
We had to have lunch Saturday and dinner, and we had to have breakfast, and that got to be an enormous undertaking. And then we had to have lunch today. And every one of those meals, we must have had 6 vegetables on the table, plus the meat. The fish and biscuits and cornbread and pepper and just everything that anybody could think of put on the table.
Yeah. Well, that's all it's worth for it.
Hardly. Yeah, it took them about an hour to get it ready because they had to cook down all the greens.
All hands.
Grandmother and Nell were in there, and I came in too, but I'm just kind of a hanger-on when they're both in there working. You know, they tell me how to do things. And I asked Nell to show me how she cooked the squash. Because I'd been, you know, just slicing it real thin, across, and putting it in egg batter and then just frying it. Well, she puts it in cornmeal, too. So she showed me how to do that. Well, it's good. She showed me how to cook the onions. She fries them. And they come out in this real wet, sticky, kind of gooey stuff, but it tastes good. And, of course, the beans, we had new potatoes mixed in with them. As soon as Bew saw those potatoes, he told me I'll go down to the store and get some pole beans.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to eat them without beans.
That's right.
So we had the fish and all those vegetables, and Grandma and Grandfather started talking about when they were young, you know, growing up, and when they had first married and lived in Georgia and would work for different farmers, landowners. And they got talking about making that cross. And he said that sometimes he gets off on the thing, you know, that the niggers think they have it so bad, but white people had it pretty bad too, you know. He said white people were as poor as anybody else, but it doesn't sound like he ever felt very poor, you know. But he talked about how a lot of times that people who would start making their crop, and they'd have to get the store to lend them money for food each week, you know, like Mr. Weaver was saying. And then they'd get the crop in and started and still need supplies, and the men own the grocery store tell them they can't have it anymore. And so they'd have to leave. And he'd just hire somebody to harvest their crop. They didn't have to be a barn burner. They just had to have somebody like that.
And now there's your granddaddy?
Yeah, granddaddy. Because, that's all he ever knew was farming.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you see, I never knew that.
Well, I didn't either. I thought he just used the used furniture store.
I see, I don't go that far back, and it could be the part of the country, but I don't know. You see, Fogner had it.
Yeah.
So, and Joe DiVanna was plotting against him, wasn't he?
That's what he was planning to do.
Yeah.
Evidently, Grandfather never got caught that way. You know, he just somehow managed to avoid that.
Yes. Yeah, it'd be rare, exceptionally.
Yeah. But, of course, Grandmother was just in fine form, and she wasn't telling stories like the one about shooting the owl and busting her nose.
Yeah. Things that she told a number of times.
Yeah, she's just talking about what they do, you know, just kind of the everyday sort of stuff. And I've never heard her talk that way before. Of course, the others have, but I haven't. And she got on, of course, it just conversation went back and forth. We'd bring up something in Bew's place, like they're going to have chickens. Well, that'd take Grandmother back to chickens. And she'd talk about chickens.
Yeah.
And about guineas, and Grandfather thinks they're real good watchdogs, you know, and he's got a lot of respect for guinea hens. And then we get on to geese, and Bew'd say he didn't want any geese because they used to chase him when he was little. And they pinch when
they
get hold of him.
Yeah.
Well, that set Grandmother and Grandfather off again, and they talked about the geese they'd had. And when Grandmother was a girl, her family had about 40 of them, and they just turn them out in the cotton, and the geese would pick the rows clean. They wouldn't have to hoe the weeds. But she said every year it came down, somebody'd say, "Well, tomorrow we're going to pluck the geese." And she said she used to hate that so much because they'd take each goose and get them in a horse stall and turn them upside down, turn them on their backs, and hold their heads back underneath their arm and pull out every one of their feathers. Underneath their, on their belly, under their wings, the back of her. Of course, she went through all the movements, you know, how you yank them out, and then how the goose would sound, you know, quack! And she went through all, she said when she used to try to pull them out real slow so it wouldn't hurt so much. Of course, her goose would just scream in agony. But she talked about that, and they talked about the geese a long time. Come up to water, and somebody'd be down there and yell at somebody at the house, say, "Hey, bring me a screwdriver," and that set all the geese off. and they just raised the ruckus. But the whole weekend, you know, they never let it down the whole time.
And that marvelous.
But it finally dawned on me, and I'm still not sure I've got this right, but the thing to do is to see how Bew and Nell handle this. You know, like, Bew's going back there to find Georgia, kind of. But his Georgia, I think all it's going to include is his family and the animals. And somebody like Mr. Jarrett's not going to have any part in it, really. It's just, you know, he's got, if his family is, I think, the main thing for him. Plus, you know, the chickens and a couple of goats for milk and the cow and the pig and the horses and things like that. But Mr. Jarrett's not going to have much to do with it.
Who is he, a tractor man?
Yeah, he's a tractor man.
So he won't really see Mr. Jack.
Well, I don't think he will, but then I end up kind of set back usually when I start thinking about what Nell and Bew can do. They turn around and do something I don't think they'll do, you know, or don't expect from them. So he might. Just that one time he didn't want to fool around and talk to him. He wanted to work on his apple trees.
Yeah. Well, you know, the beauty of it is, to stay out of it. Just stay out of it. But get your typewriter. And let me tell you, Suzanne, now what are you going to do about the tape? Taping it. I don't believe you've got the nerve to handle it, do you?
I don't know. I like to think I've got the nerve to handle it, but I'm not sure.
Well, you've got nobody to help you. And you see, it's awfully hard on me. And I've manipulated people, you see, all my life. And that's all I do now. You realize that?
Yeah.
That's all I do, manipulate people. And it's hard on me.
Well, it wouldn't, I don't think it would ever bother Nell, but I think I do make Bew nervous sometimes. I notice if I stay out of the conversation, well, you know, I take part in it, but I don't make any really practical suggestions.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like, you know, well, it'd be nice to do this, or it'd be nice to have a couple of goats.
Yeah.
It's nothing he's got to take serious. But when I start making comments about the kind of cottage I'd like for Jim and us to have,
oh,
that
no.
makes him nervous.
Oh, no. You can't make comments on anything.
And I don't know why it took me this long to figure that out.
That's right.
But he told Jim, we were sitting on the couch, he told Jim he's going to give him some graph paper and let Jim try to work out something for the barn. And I looked at him, you know, and he looked at me and he just laughed. He said, don't you let Suzanne have that. She'd have us a $40,000 barn built.
Just let him think it, and you see, all
just
you
stay
need
out.
Is a stall. Now, you know, the thing that would be hard on me, you see, if they want to see Georgia, they've got to see it like Ratliff.
Yeah.
They got to use the house to see.
Well, you see, that's what, you know, I don't think Bew will nail mine. But you see, I'm probably underestimating Bew.
Well, no, I don't think they would. I think the whole world does the same thing Bew's done. And the only reason I know any better is I've studied it. Isn't that amazing? If it hadn't been for that, see, if I spent my time the way he did, I'd do the same thing he does. But see, I read Ratliff, so that's the difference.
Well, about the tapes, just from this weekend, I see how necessary they are. Just for any, I mean, just to do it, because all that talk,
yeah,
you know, it's at the dinner table. It's a little hard to get them apart.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't think it will be. I see that. It looks hard to me, but you do it pretty well.
Huh?
You do it pretty well. It looks hard to me, but I don't. Grandmother and grandfather, I know I can get them alone. And I'm sure Nell always alone.
You don't want them alone. You want grandfather alone.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can see I need it. No, I don't think there's anything I can do much with
it. Well, let me tell you, what you want to do is just take a little time where you feel comfortable. Once you feel pushed yourself, you see you can't do it. Now, you see, Faye can't tape. She can't even tape the telephone. She just can't do it. It just ruins her personality. Just changes her personality.
Yeah.
So, you see, if it affects you that way, just let well enough alone. But I keep thinking you ought to take me along just to do the tape.
Yeah.
You don't need many tapes, you know, just to do whatever now and then. Now, Jim said they wouldn't talk. They'd talk to me.
Oh,
yeah. You
I
see,
they
won't. The children don't know anything about the adults. I mean, that's never has been that way. You all go down there all the time, let them come up here.
Yeah, we're working on it.
You don't have to work on it.
You want them to come up.
Yeah, just tell them, just
see
get
Bubba.
Them on the phone, tell them I can't come, I want to see you. Come on out here, and the miles want you out there. Yeah. And you see, you get them out here, and, you know, as soon as you, you know, you as soon as you get started, get the breath, start talking. Why, hell, we talk all night. But now you see what you've got, you don't want to change anybody. You've got your background there where you can see them change. That's the beauty of it, see. But you got to keep your typewriter. Now, you don't have any energy for typing while you're in school?
Yeah, I do, but it's got to, I don't know, with me it's got to be something like last summer, you know, something that really, that I just got to put down.
Oh no.
Otherwise, I put it off.
Oh no, I got past that now. I've got way past that. What you see, what I had been overlooking all this time, you see, is the handling. You see, Emily says all the time, experience is not what counts, it's the artistic use of it. In my terms, reporting on it, or in a more general way, using it, handling it. Now you get to your typewriter and you handle it. Well, now you see, you work with me enough to know the heart of handling it is making a statement and working it out in all you know, just carrying that through a whole lot of the experience. Just a very, you know, just a little easy statement. Now I've been doing that this year. Let me tell you, this term, you see, I start with roughing it, go to Cross Creek, and the shift there is that Mark Twain doesn't know much about what he's talking about, and Miss Rawlins has lived with it, and she has a vast amount of information that he doesn't have. And I find this, with that point of view, for the first time I've been able to get the chaps up there to look at Miss Rawlins. They don't like her world, partly because she knows too much about it. Now, isn't that amazing? It's taken me all this time. Now, my friend Mo, she has 5 or 6 glimpses, and I have always read it superficially, and each glimpse looks at him a and if you can simply follow her statements, all sorts of things about Mobile. Now you see, the nigger help doesn't come that Sunday morning, and Mobile happens by with his wagon full of children, truck full. She couldn't get the cow. They get the cow, milk her, feed her, make a brush fence that she can't get through, have all those cracker skills. See, that makes Mole sort of the Shropshire lad, like, you know, you see a part of the countryside. He's not her friend anymore. He's a man in his own right, with all those skills and young'uns that's learning them. And each glimpse, you see, take that little furniture thing from Major Fairbanks. You see, she showed you something else about him. Now that's what using it does. That's what using it did for me. I didn't see it until I used it. I see, it's all these abstract terms, you see, that get you. Artistic art does it. Well, why call it art? Just say using it, examining it, making statements about it.
I guess what I end up doing, or I don't know whether it's a school or not, but it's pushed to say everything in your statement and not just say, like you said, the glimpses.
Yeah.
You know, and then the next time, say something else. And not try to say it all at once.
That's right. You do that. Of course, his school makes his statements a little too firm, just like it does mine, you know. But you can work out of it. That'd be nice. I think people in school are all addled. I don't think there's any escape from it, Suzanne.
It gives you kind of a funny attitude for a lot of things, I know.
Huh?
I don't know, you get kind of a funny attitude towards things. I kind of.
Well, nothing you do makes sense.
Yeah.
You go around leaving gates open. You see, you can follow you and Jim around, and you just leave things lying around. Well, I don't think there's any escape from it. I didn't realize it when I was in school, but I've seen it, you know, a lot since then. It affects me the same way, you see. So I just devote a certain part of the week, solid time, to the office. I can't do what you think of. Then I try to sort of get out of it. But Sadie has got to the point now, she can use a typewriter. And it came hard and slow. She put so many things up between. See, I can see some of the things that I could see some of the things she did, and I can see some of the things you do. But you have to, you know, have to work. You know, just do everything in one shot. But I think that's a remarkable thing, that move to Georgia. And just followed in all its extravagance.
Jim said, Bubba's not going to be able to walk for the animals. You just kind of wade through.
The thing of it is, you can't put it in words. Your words are so.
Yeah, they're not enough.
Anybody's words. But if you could simply, get some of that on tape, it would not be marvelous. If you could get some of that on tape, that would be just marvelous. But I don't think you can't just tape that. You've got to do your taping somewhere else and just go down there already skillful at taping. And we had that out, didn't we? You can't say, well, I'm going to tape somebody and then quit. Mm. You got to. You just had beginner's luck on that revival thing. He did it for you, really.
Yeah, he even plugged us in.
Yes. Well, that's homemade. That's ready-made. Now, you know, kind of the way it works out, I see the academic side of it, Suzanne. I see how they, you see, there's absolutely nothing that the university can do that would encourage you to do it or enable you to report on this adventure. Everything they do would take you in the wrong direction.
Old Tarwater talking to the lady in the store.
Yeah. And, young Tarwater.
Yeah. Young Tarwater.
And there's other cases, you see. You see when
the
she...
The Misfit, too. Well, not...
That's, yeah, that's an extreme case. But now, yes, but you've got so much of it. Like Ms. Shortley. Mm-hmm. And the little book says, you know, that she views the poor white trash as vicious. Well, she doesn't know that much about the poor white trash. And you just can't say that about a whole thing like that. So, you see, you've got to... I don't think anything she says is safe. I don't think she's clear about it. I think it's an extreme case of that... Iowa School of Letters. Taking you off, in you see, the artistic handling of things. And you leave experience, you see.
Is he going to give you some shots?
I think the beautiful thing is, you see, from the tapes, you can go into it and see how to not distort all that experience. And you see, you can see them. Just go along with it.
Wow.
Just make it. Just ready to make it.
I heard the x-rays around me.
He's bird, isn't he? Yes. He takes hold of the piece of leather behind the bridle.
Yeah.
He come up and take a hold of that and didn't chew it. I was out there helping him for the reason that I haven't seen him, really. But I was out there helping him with when they were getting the shot. And Bubba would come up and take hold of that and look at you. But you know, starting looking at me, I know they are meditating mischief.
I wonder what you're going to do, sir.
He's picked that up from Ajax, I think, that holding on that strap.
Oh, really?
We try to put that rope halter on him, you know, the big one.
Yeah.
You try to lead him along, and he gets half that in his mouth, and he just holds on to it. You can lead him along just fine, except he wants to have that in his mouth. He just chews on it.
Yeah.
The other day, we were out there, and Bubba was going to get down and roll, And the Samuel, and he rolled over once, you know, and we've got to count how many times he could do it. Ajax saw him down the ground, and he came up just as fast as he came and bit him right on the rear end, you know. Just, so Bubba jumped up and went chasing after Ajax. Chew on each other a while.
I get Faye to show you this little thing. I think it's nice. It's nice. It's small. Ship drowned for the Mitchell boys. He's back from Germany. He's in the army for years to go.
Okay.
And Ship is the one who showed me I couldn't farm down here. I had sweet potatoes down in the corner. And I put them in with Gene Roberts, nephew Roberts.
Yeah.
You didn't know him.
Yeah.
And I had to hold him out. And I got Shep to come over here. Well, Shep brought a boy with him.
Yeah.
I thought I could just sail right through there with somebody to help me. Shep wouldn't talk, didn't talk much. And with me, I couldn't even understand the words. He treated me like white folks and brought this boy along to keep between him and me.
Yeah.
I saw what's happening. And I knew after that first morning that all this abundant supply of labor down here, there wasn't any for me. So I didn't try to farm anymore. That cured me. That one day it was Shep. He was fishing over here, fell in or something, I don't know what now. He was just off on a furlough of vacation. I mean. And Faye picked it up. She went down to see Miss Daisy, and that was the afternoon, just after they had found it. So she saw the process, and Miss Daisy on her porch there, conscious of that whole little world out there. She was getting information as fast as she could, or she was sensitive to it. She didn't have it then. They went on the next afternoon and she had it. The first thing she said was, he got his fish before he drowned. He had pulled that fish. That's John. Now that meant something to her. And her reporting is gifted. You can see what's in her mind without her giving you abstract ideas. Faye wrote it down. You see kind of how it goes. And that's just using it. But the thing of it is, you have to live it. Now, I think in school you're too adult to live that thing. I don't believe you can, you know, I don't believe you can cut off from up there enough to do them. Huh? I don't think you can. If you did this, then it'd put you in disadvantage up there. But as soon as you get out of there, you see, you all always fly the cup. So you don't take hold of anything, as far as I can see. So you're addled while you're in school, and then out of school, you disappear.
Well, sounds like you just had a party.
You see, that's what I focus on. Everything I do goes in that direction. And it has since I was a child.
Uh-huh.
I never got that far. I just didn't have the Just didn't have what it takes. But I enjoyed the reporting. I tell you what, I didn't realize just what I didn't enjoy.
Well, they kept you over there a good while, just doing some
tests.
Yeah.
The person I knew the best in Kentucky when I lived there was Prudy Gary. She was salty.
But aren't you glad you came?
Just right out of the soil. But she had a great gift. I didn't realize then what it was. When I look back, I can see how slow I picked up things. And you see, one reason I was so slow is they kept my mind dulled on European literature and classical literature. And I never could clear it, you know. And no one had any gift, means of doing it. They didn't know how. Well, the last few years, I could tell you some remarkable. You know Mr. Patterson? Carlop knew Mr. Patterson ever since he finished college. He lived in San Francisco. That's over a generation. He got grown children. I mean, they're all from school and married. He knew Mr. Patterson that long time. He came out here to talk by him one night. And he had no terms in which to sing, no categories. Absolutely no. Now one category, you see, Mr. Patterson came out here and leaned on that gate out there and looked out there and told Faye, that's a beautiful horse. He picked her out there first thing, Missy. This is on a horse out there. He didn't go up to the horse.
I know.
And you see, he has a gift that they can't recognize and have no time in which to explain it. Well, that's one term in which you can explain it. He can see the horse. That's very simple, isn't it? Why, you see, Debbie would sit out there an hour time and just talk to Missy. You're bound to have something. Take pictures of it, like Nick did with Molly.
No,
that was sort of, I didn't expect that. Carl speaks well, and he's bright, he's brilliant, and he knows everything. I mean, he's studied everything.
Well, you
and Carl, you know, he was in charge of that building where we are.
You know that you're
there, off campus now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cripple.
But I just ignored it. Yeah.
Folks on braces.
Oh, well, that's my other one. Bessie said to tell you that she's turning was just like yours. Well, you're sweet to call. I'm glad you're home.
Well, you all must have had a weekend down there, Jim.
Fine. Well, we had a good day, and I'll write you.
Yes.
Good night.
Yeah, we had a pretty good time. Grandparents are kind of, usually the other ones bring in the vegetables, and this time we brought them.
Yeah. Well, they must have been proud of that.
I guess they were. We talked vegetables and farming in Georgia all weekend.
Well, don't you know they could talk vegetables? I'd give out, but they could, there wouldn't be any end, would they?
My grandfather talked all week about what he called artichokes. Artichokes, I guess, what you pronounce them.
Sure.
Artichokes.
He ordered from some up in Georgia.
And he'd planted them out there, and they grew like potatoes, and he thought they were the neatest things. They were something new, and they were like potatoes, and you could do everything with them. And
he said you could even pick one. You could.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And they good pickles.
I've never had any.
Where's Jim going to plant his corn? Oh, he was saying, would he have to put a fence up? And he didn't even know the tractor was fixed.
Could he burnt that thing out?
Yeah, I saw his welding gear.
That thing was in there for keeps.
I had to buy a new tractor because I wanted one.
Yeah.
Cost guy filled the fertilizer, but it was worth it.
Your grandpa told you you're supposed to plant that corn when? June 9th or so.
Next full moon.
Next full moon, yeah. Well, before the next full moon, so it'll be coming up during. Because he plants by the moon when he can.
Jim's a trader guy. He's hoping for a drought. So he can...
Pass.
Get out. Get his thesis working. He's hoping for a drought. Now, what about that?
Isn't that something?
Not a long one. Just 5 weeks. It's all one.
Got all the farmers down on me around here.
So you want it?
Oh, my thesis kind of depends on a dry spell.
Oh.
If I don't have a dry spell, I won't have a thesis.
His professor got him into this. It didn't work for him, so he wants Jim to try it.
It should be hard to find a guy.
He didn't know how you were committed to a good rainy season.
I thought Jim maybe he gets rained out and just let him go without one.
How long did it take you to drive to the Keys?
Oh, about 3 hours. It's 3 hours and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. We don't drive very fast. About 50, 55. Stop once for gas. And we drive 441. So we have to stop at a few red lights.
Well, what's the reason your parents couldn't come up here?
I don't know. They never visited me when I was, you know, going to school. And I never visited my sister much when she went off. I don't know why. We just care about them more than they care about us.
Well, you see, I can't stick my head in it. But if you get them up here, we're just let them talk.
Run through the mill.
Or they could even stay out here. Wouldn't that be fun?
We'll see. They'll be going to Georgia, and we might be able to. Stop them on the way up or back.
Oh, no, the whole time.
I mean, for a day.
The whole time.
Whole week.
Come up for the week.
No, the weekend.
Weekend.
They could check.
Yeah.
Hey, we could invite them out.
They could do that. Yeah, I don't think they could do it. They'd do it.
And your dad moves over the track?
They'd come up Friday afternoon after work.
Yeah.
And they ought to see what we, you know, if they're going in the farming business.
Sure. If you're going to talk, you've got to have...
Yeah, see our garden, Jim.
Yeah, we'll probably get them up there that way. But right now, all we're thinking about is going to Georgia's. May have to wait till after the end.
They're going out in June for a month.
So I don't know if they'd want to come up, you know, they'd come up here before then or not. But I don't know, we could ask them.
Gosh, that's no trip. Come up here for the weekend.
Just for the weekend.
Yeah. Because they used to come up to my grandparents. The thing, if they had a place to stay,
well,
like, you know, instead of coming in on us, you know, and having to get a couple extra beds and put in the front of our house.
Hey, I don't see how anyone accomplishes anything who hasn't got the fine art of manipulating. It simply takes some manipulation to breathe.
We have an extra bedroom in town. You know, we can have that bedroom. And there's three extra bedrooms out here.
No, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about manipulating. I'm thinking about lying. See, Suzanne, I don't know how she teaches her children classes if she goes in there and honest with them.
Well, I can think of a million reasons why they ought to come.
I'm not talking about reasons, Leah. I'm talking about lying.
If you don't come in within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we may just leave.
We won't come
home.
We won't
be here. Oh, that would be fun. Yes, sir. He could wear his work clothes because we'd be sure to have some work to do.
We'll try.
This is what y'all do. You tell him you need help when it comes haying time. Get him up here again.
That's mighty friendly. Yeah, you just put your mind to it. You see, you don't want to give him time to think.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you want to catch him right at the, when he gets home of that, you know, and give him a little more time for that. But catch him before he goes to the leaves. For about the time he gets up for breakfast, you know when he eats breakfast.
Yeah. About five in the morning.
5 in the morning?
About 5:30.
He goes to bed at 9 or 8:30, depends.
Well, now, let me tell you,
Suzanne,
you see, this is manipulating, but it's thought is also manipulating. You see, this, you say, I've got to get him up here. All right. Now, that carries you right into, you see, I could work that out with you and find out more about him in a few minutes than I would 6 weeks, just waiting for you all to tell me. You see how it works, Jim? Huh? Now you call it manipulation, or you call it the artistic use of your talents, or whatever you want to talk about it. Emily Dixon calls it art. She says experience doesn't take you nearly as far as art. Well, what's art? It's manipulating. It's handling your experience where you can see something in it, huh?
Yeah, we got it. Maybe Grandma and Granddaddy. Bring up a whole family.
All at once, Lord.
All at once.
Now they are the...
They better start on them.
That'd probably be a good idea. They go back further.
They'd probably.
They'd come right off, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
That's right. And they're not pressed for time.
We tell Granddaddy. He'd come up for a load of manure.
Yeah, he would.
Now you see, guys, what they're thinking about.
Yeah, he would.
Well, we got plenty of it.
Yeah, he sure would. Our croaker sack. Our tongue.
Yeah, both.
And grandmother'd come away. You know, you wouldn't even have to have an excuse.
Well, you can talk.
Hi, grandmother. You want to come up here and zoom?
That or canning or something like that. Making preserves. Blackberry.
That'd be fun.
We'll see how good we lie.
Well, they certainly would be welcome, and we certainly would like to see them, and that's no lie. There's lots of things to do.
Hey, I don't solve it.
I'm not. I'm only lying.
You know what Faye, little Faye said? What did she say, Faye, that time you were afraid I was making the wrong impression? said, now, Fei-Fei, I know Guy Guy. You don't have to explain him to me.
she was telling me.
I was sitting right over on the van. We had that old thing over there. Remember what I used to know?
Those big old eyes.
Yes. There was a time she read the Yeats poem she'd never seen before.
Sitting right there in a chair with, and Curtis was a baby, and she was, and Curtis was just sort of right there, and she was reading, she read that poem.
With Curtis on her knee.
And
read it better than I did.
Better than I could have read it for the first time she ever saw it. Never could.
Now you're going home and pick up Chaucer or whatever.
He's not due till Wednesday. I'll pick him up till Tuesday
night. See, that'll push all this out of your mind. Don't you hate to for this to get out?
I'll be up to down 11:12.
That's where I feel, you see. Now the first thing I won't I've got so I don't do any, try not to do any classwork on the weekend. But the very first thing Monday morning, you see, I'll pick it up. And I just hate to let this other go.
You know what? I hated over the whole weekend. I didn't want to let Miss Daisy go.
Yeah.
I was just in it, you know. When I wanted to type right, I was
you show that to Suzanne Fay and put my little piece in the middle of it. I've got two pieces on it.
And she can read it sitting right there. You got yours?
Well, the last that I did was better.
Well, it don't matter.
No.
You don't have to have it better. You just want to get
Boy, I didn't live in a grave, I would come up. Come on, big dog.
That's about 9:40 or 50, Channel 1 over, and the end of the visit with Jim and Suzanne. Suzanne and Jim this Sunday night, I guess it is, the 2nd of May, 1971. Around Channel 1 over, around 9:40, 45, and the end of the visit with Suzanne and Jim this whole side, Channel 1 over. This Sunday night, I guess it is, they're on the way back from the Cape, and they report on Bew and Nell this Sunday night, the 2nd of May, 1971.